about it, sweetheart.
Good, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stirring the Pot Podcast. This is your host, DDA, aka 509 Reasons, and we're back with another one. I'm gonna leave this singing to the birds, man. Anyways, we're back. This is actually part two to the last episode. Women are the prize, we aren't meant to catch too. This particular part of the episode, we're more so focused on the manifestation of relationships. But without me having to talk to you too much, let's just get straight into it. Let's go.
Alright, so I'm gonna play this one last video and then we can get into it. Last one.
But here's the little challenge. We got all these things we want in a man. A list of things. He gotta be tall, he gotta be dark, he gotta be handsome, he gotta have pretty teeth, he gotta be a family man, he gotta be financially stable, he gotta be rich, he gotta be successful, he gotta be all these things. And we ain't even half the things on that list. He gotta be a family man. Bitch, you ain't talked to your mama in 6 months, but you want him to be a family man. He gotta be financially stable. Your account is in the negative, ma'am. Overdraft fees. He gotta have a job. You need to go fill out some applications, because you're still unemployed. He gotta have pretty teeth. You ain't seen a dentist in 6 years. He gotta have a six-pack and be in shape. You can't even walk up a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing. Get your life together. This whole list that he gotta be. You ain't even half the things on that list. So this is what I challenge you to do. So we can manifest love all 2021. Make that list of that perfect dream man that you got in your mind. Then, what I did, make a list of the type of woman he would need right by his side. You want him to be in shape? You need to get to the gym. Equally yoked, bitch. You want him to be financially stable? Well, you need to start saving, because you can't keep a dime to your name. Huh? You want him to be a family man? Call your mama. You become a family woman. Heal your traumas before you put all this shit on him. You want him to be patient? Bitch, your patience is thin. You want him to be understanding? You the least understanding person in your circle of friends, but he gotta be understanding? Fix you. Fix you. Whatever you want, become that. Ugh. Fuck. He gotta be in shape. Bitch, you eat chips every day. You heal. Let's become the person we want to attract. How about that?
Bud, please tell me y'all heard that.
I did see that one before.
Okay.
I did see that because I was like, who? Because everybody was like talking about she's not wrong. And she's not wrong. She's really not wrong. You know, like I said, I know a lot of people that make serious bank. And she's right. Those are the you know, they look for a certain thing. So she is right about that. I mean, you do have to do the work to get what you want. You have to do the work. And a lot of these women don't want to do the work. They think, he gonna love me as I am. And the reality is, 9 out of 10 times, they don't love you as you are. Because that's not what they want. So she is right.
I can say, like, when I really started trying to center on the woman that I wanted, you know, to be my wife and became my wife, you know, I did make the list of saying, you know, she needed to be a professional type woman. And, you know, I even got so specific that I was like, you know, I wanted her to make this amount of money and all of that. But what I found is as I made that list, I couldn't find that person. It was just we were not. I wasn't doing anything in those social circles to meet that person. Based on where I lived and where, you know, I was at. I eventually met my wife just through online dating. You know, that's where I had to go. But it still was a measure of just physical attraction. You know, that made that happen. You know, I saw a picture that made me pick on that picture, other than anything else, and then got to, you know, find out that she was who I was looking for. So I think that's the thing that we missed. At a certain age, we're not in that environment, the clubs, and all of that, where we're just gonna happenstance on somebody. And even in that, it's still a level of attraction that's gonna first put somebody on your radar. And then depending on that level of attraction, then you're gonna get to know them and find out if they're who you're looking for. So I think we can't kill that at the end of the day. That's just who we are as, you know, human beings. That attraction is what's gonna turn your head to that person at Walmart, or, you know, that even that person at church. It ain't the interactions, it's that's the way that dress wears, you know, fall on Sundays. And I hate to make it sound like that, but it's attraction. And I don't know, Wisely, what would you say about that? Because I know you were kind of leading the camp on, you know, from the male perspective, and just, you know, it wasn't necessarily all about attraction, you know, it was about what the woman, the value she had. But I think at the same time.
Yeah, well, I was about to chime in there too. I was going to say, well, 100%, look, there's any woman in the world that ever thinks that a guy is going to look at you and be like, wow, she has a beautiful brain. You're crazy. Right. Number one thing is going to be attraction. Right. And attraction is different to each individual. Right. Some people like big girls. Some people like skinny girls. Some people like medium sized girls, whatever the case may be. Some people like girls with blonde hair. Some people like girls with red hair. Attraction is always going to be number one. But now after that attraction, and you said something about that whole listening too, right? That's where it becomes a little dangerous, because, you know, mind you, back in my young days, right? I talk like I'm 60. Back in my young days, you know, I used to be, you know, short-lived. You know, I used to be like, yeah, I want this, that, and the third. But I quickly learned that that's not really how life works, right? You can have standards. Standards is great to have. You got standards, meaning that I'm not going to go to a certain level where I'm about to go pick up a homeless girl under the bridge and make her my wife, right? So I'm not going to go that low. But you can have standards. But what you cannot do is have a certain list, whereas if an individual doesn't meet that exact criteria you're looking for, that's not it.
All right, well, quick rebuttal to that, though. I was previously the type of guy that I felt like it was all about the development. And so it didn't matter how much you made. It didn't matter all of that, because I felt like, we'd find the balance together. And so as I went in, maybe, you know, more income, you know, I've dated folks that were people on sales jobs with commission, you know, who, you know, I made 70,000, they made 30,000. It didn't matter to me. Together, we made 100,000, like you said before. But at the same time, when it came down to start talking about money and finances and stuff, we were not equally yoked. I was talking about putting money in assets, CDs, bonds, stock market. And that person was like, I just want to go blow all of this and, you know, go on a vacation. So when I started looking for that person that was my proper mate, I had to put that type of stuff, that this person had to be more professionally minded about income and, you know, stuff like that, to meet that. So when I say list, it's not necessarily that, oh, it's blonde hair, all of that, but it was some things, some dynamics on where I wanted to go in life that this person had to kind of fall into some of those levels. And yeah, maybe me seeing a professional woman at that time was a little narrow-sighted, but I felt like someone that maybe, you know, was a college graduate and all of that, with me being also that type of person, that we had some, you know, common ground on those experiences that would help us as a couple. And like I say, I met my match, you know. I came in with my wife making double the salary that I did, and then knowing that I was gonna grow up, you know, now we're equally yoked, and you know, both of us making six figures. But, you know, it just came from us. Yeah. You know, from,
and this list thing, go ahead.
Let me ask a quick question. So when y'all came into this with y'all lists, and then y'all figured out this list thing may not be productive or as realistic as you think, do you feel like it's, well, looking backwards at that time, do you think you felt like you had to settle to find y'all wives?
I did. My wife did checks everything on my list.
Milk. Milk, let me say something real quick. So now when I mentioned the whole list, right? Yeah. So it sounds like your list was a little bit more mature than 99% of people's list, right? Because majority of people's list, they're typically looking on a lot of materialistic things, right? Not to say that's everybody. It sounds like your list was a little bit more elevated, a little bit more matured than majority of people, right? You're looking for equally yoked as far as mentality-wise. A lot of people are looking for list physicality-wise. So that's why when I said, yo, the whole list type thing. You know, and I agree 100%. It doesn't necessarily have to be, if you have that type of list, that a maturity or a mature list, right? As in you want somebody that's intellectually on the same wavelength as you. Somebody that, you know, understands, operates kind of like how you do, not necessarily they have to be making the same as you. Yo, all for it. But majority of what I'm assuming, majority of people that have a list, they're talking about he's got to be 6'5", he's got to be this, he's got to be that, and the third. That's more of a materialistic
list. The list has been bastardized. This is how I feel. The list has been bastardized because now, remember when Ciara left Future and she did a whole prayer and list of the man that she wants to be with, okay? But she just talked about the fact that she made this list and she prayed it to God. And next thing you know, here comes Russell Wilson. She didn't talk about the fact that she had to heal herself, do the work on herself, come have a personal come to Jesus, more or less, and be like, this is what I need to do to obtain this person. I have to be on this level to get this man at this level. She didn't talk about that. She just talked about the list, the prayer. So there are so many women right now that are looking for, well, what's the prayer that Ciara said to get Russell Wilson? What's the list that Ciara wrote to get Russell Wilson? So the list has been bastardized.
And the key point that you made there is that you know, finding, you know, your own growth in there. Because I know I think my flaws was that I treated the women I dated like, you know, projects, whatever they were focused on became my focus. And so, you know, I've had women that were, you know, beauticians that wanted to open their own shops, and I'm in there writing business plans and go into the Small Business Administration, you know, trading out some of my own goals to help them pursue their goals. And that was something that I had to stop. You know, it wasn't so much what were they trying to do and be latching onto that. I had to dial it back. And that's the comment I made earlier. I'm not trying to be your business advisor or your partner. It was about being with you. And so every time I let you become the project, that relationship never went anywhere because it was just about us building together. We were partners then, you know, business partners. And so that was one thing that I had to pray on, search and say, okay, I got to stop, you know, being this great business partner and, you know, be a little more selfish about, you know, this relationship. And it was some friction before because some women, as soon as they went into that bag, I instantly shut down. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, you're looking for someone to help you grow. You know, I'm not that guy right now. You know, but no, just add that to it.
You're all about potential, and I feel you because I've been with some dudes who they got like mad potential, and I'm like so proud of them because they came from like, you know, adversity, right? And like I want them to succeed, and I want to be with them because I know that they can be this man. But in terms of what you're saying is you see that. How I interpret what you're saying, right, is you see that potential in them. You know that they can be great. So you put yourself on the back burner so you can help elevate them just a little bit. And then you kind of neglect yourself and then you let your pot simmer down. So you ain't got no fire left in you. And now you're trying to build yourself up because you have helped them so much. So I feel what
you want to help him build himself back up.
Right. Right. And then Cheryl, in terms of what you're saying, if y'all ever listened to that, it's Oprah Soulful Sundays or something. Man, the conversation was so good. They had Megan Good and her husband on there, the pastor guy. And look, I know I could use a little bit of religious help and everything. But when they were talking about, she was like, look, I'm done with all these jokers out here. I just want to get my mind right. I'm done being played and I'm done playing. And she said, this is what I want in terms of a man, not that he's got to be 6 feet tall, make X amount of money, but I want him to treat me right. I want him to have a good personality. I want him to have a sense of humor. I want him to be a good daddy and whatnot. And then lo and behold, she found this man because she was busy focusing on herself to make herself a good woman. Right. and how she could make herself a good woman for the right person for her.
Right.
And then
going back to what I said about Sierra, where she didn't talk about all the work she did on herself. Right. She just talked about, I said a prayer to Jesus. I said a prayer to God saying, this is the man I want. This is the attributes. This is that. But she had, like I said, she had to bring herself up to that level of this man here, you know, because when she brought herself up to that level, that's when she met Russell Wilson. But she doesn't talk about the fact that she had to do all this work to do that. Same with Megan Good. She had to do all that inner work to get to that level of man. A lot of these women just think that they're, going back to, are women the prize? A lot of these women just think that a man like that's just gonna drop out of the earth and be like, hi.
And I wonder, to be honest with you, like, I feel like a lot of women, I'm sorry, I keep doing these word games. Even if Megan and Sierra were to say that they worked on themselves, would people really work on themselves? Because they just want, I feel like some people want that handout. It's like, man, I just want to pray. I want to be like Cinderella, and I hope and I wish
that they're owed.
I'm going to manifest them. That's the biggest thing. I'm going to manifest this.
Without working.
Without doing anything for themselves. Without doing any work. I'm going to manifest this man. How the hell are you going to manifest something when your shit ain't right?
Yeah.
Because they don't think nothing's wrong with them.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And then they're like, why is that guy?
Well, we're taught, you know, that love is blind, and, you know, it's unconditional. And if you find the right person that's going to love you, they're going to accept your flaws. But people don't have to take your baggage. They can choose not to take it. And that's the one thing that, you know, we're all kind of mistaken on, that, you know, we don't have to accept each other's baggage if we don't want to. And it's not because that person was not, you know, a loving person. It was just because it was just too much for them. Mm.
That's settling. You know, like, I can find me a man who just okay with where I'm at. I'm not okay with where I'm at in my life right now. And I can find me a man who perfectly accept me the way I am. But yeah. I need something more, you know, and I think that's all on what that person really wants. If you just want somebody and literally just a body, you can up and find that, because people are willing to just not be lonely.
I agree. I think, was that Beast of Bone, that video, Diddy?
Yeah, Beast of Bone.
Yeah, I agree with her on that. That a lot of that, if you're gonna say this is the person that I want, and then you need to kind of do a self-inventory of, can I attract that person that I want? You know, they say the universe, you know, hates a void, that, you know, if you put something out, the universe is going to, you know, attract that. If you're being that person, if that's the walk that you're walking in life, then yeah, you got a better chance of attracting that person that you're looking for. You know, if you want someone that's, you know, physically fit, probably you're going to meet that person probably at the gym or doing something, you know, in a physical fit, you know, type, you know, in activity. And so, yeah.
And the
crazy, I had a boyfriend at the gym because his first words to me was, what are you training for? And I said, my life. And he was like, what's going on? I said, I'm training for my life. I'm trying to live. I want to be Ernestine, 85 years old, still lifting weights and looking good. I'm training for my life. Because he's like, I see you lifting these weights and you're doing heavy stuff and you're doing this and you're doing that. What are you training for? And I was like, my life. And he thought that was the most profound thing to hear somebody say that. Because he's like, I've never thought of it that way. I said, this is a lifestyle. And people don't want to change their lifestyle. They want to sit there and eat nachos and eat, like, burgers. Oh, I was having a bad day, so I had some cake. I was having a bad day, so I had a burger. I was having a bad day, so I had some chips.
A drink.
Yeah, all that stuff. You're sitting there eating all this shit. But then you expect a guy that's got a six pack. A guy with a six pack's not even gonna look in your direction. A guy with a six pack's gonna look at you like you're really eating all of that.
You know what the crazy thing is? Listening to V. Simone, I actually learned something about myself, because I always subconsciously thought the way she put it so eloquently.
Really?
As far as, like, I could have been in situations a whole long time ago, but I've never put myself in these particular situations because I knew I wasn't ready myself for what I wanted. I can't want this and I'm not there myself. So I never, you know what I'm saying, put myself in these things where I'm faking the funk. You know what I'm saying? I never lied to myself.
Never fake the funk.
No, I never lied to myself just to kick it. You know what I'm saying?
If that on that, I would say don't hold yourself back if you just feel there's a deficiency. So if it's just something that in time you can improve on versus mm-hmm. just something you ain't ready to open the door on yet. Because I see a lot of people that probably are ready for that relationship, but they just don't feel like they've hit that 50%, 60%, 70% mark yet. And it was like, nah, you really seem like you're ready. You know, stop holding yourself back. Go out there and get involved. And then, you know, you find that person is going to bring that 100% out of you. But so, I don't know, like I said, make sure it's just not a deficiency thing or if it's an actual need. Because, you know, sometimes we hold ourselves back thinking we're not ready when we are.
Thanks. Totally agreed. So yeah, man, that's where I was with it. But that it just resonated a lot with me, that what you were saying. And it's like, man, I don't know if certain people are thinking that way as far as like, yeah, manifest it, but are you ready yourself? Like, what do you have to bring to the table? Like, you got your looks, but what else do you bring to the table? Because at the end of the day, we know looks fade. You know what I'm saying? Do you have a good personality? Can you handle the business when buddy's not around or whatever the case may be? You know, Paige, whenever I know, I'm just a moderator. I'm supposed to be just letting y'all run this, but
he's been quiet for a minute. I always, Mimi's perspective is always interesting as well.
Yeah, Mimi, go ahead.
I'm just letting y'all take over. Yeah, I agree with mostly everything everyone had to say. I definitely agree with B. Simone about reflection. Like, you should be a reflection of your partner. But I think what happens is that a lot of times when women date, they go based off solely appearance and being finesse, right? For the moment. And unfortunately, they stay on that train longer than they should. Forgetting that they really should be paying attention to the core values of that person. Now, can this person last for the long haul? Like, is this person the family man? Is this person a leader? Is this person thinking about your finances together? Like, you have to think about certain things. So when we talk about manifestation, like Mill and Wise was mentioning, we really have to think about those core values. What are your non-negotiables? Something that you refuse to bend on. And I'm not talking about, oh, he has to be 6 foot tall. Y'all know how I feel about tall people, but he has to be 6 foot tall. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true core values. Like, at the end of the day, if let's say, God forbid, you're in a hospital and you're sick, that person that you choose to be with, have you chosen the right person? Or will he leave you tomorrow? So we have to think a little bit longer, like for the long haul. That's all. But I definitely agree with B. Simone. Because my biggest thing is, and I noticed the trend, women just like, oh, he's fine, he's tall, he got a beard and whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. So what does he bring? And when I say that, they're like, what do you mean? Oh, he has a job, No. Like, who is this individual?
Word.
What is his family structure? What is his background? Do he have traumas? Do he really come off as a whole person? And if not, then you really need to be thinking about yourself too. Because if you can't see those red flags immediately, then most likely you need to work on yourself as well. Because a person that is whole will recognize those red flags immediately. Won't even waste their time. So when we talk about being whole, that's what I think of. But that's it. I don't want to trail off.
Paige, go ahead. I see you drop something in the chat. You know, I'm blind right now.
I came in late, so
no, you're good. No,
I'm a little late to the party, but just listening to what Mimi was saying is, girl, I feel you on what you're saying. It's like, if you're whole, but I was also speaking on Milton's point, like, you want to see the potential in someone, is you know that this could be a good person. Like, this woman or man, they're going to be a good mom or dad.
Potential and knowing is totally different. Potential and knowing is totally different. And the reason why I say that is because you could tell by the way a person carry themselves. Like, sometimes people can finesse you with words, but pay attention how he or she really carry themselves. Like B. Simone was just mentioning, you don't even call your mom, sis. But you say you're going to be a great mother and you're going to grow this family. Like, it's small things like that. It's not even small. It's really big, but you got to pay attention to a person's action as well.
The actions is a big thing. I think that's what I finally learned as I did start pulling back from, you know, those project people, the ones that I wanted to get in there to help. The ones that were really about their business, they still continued on those projects and still worked toward that on their own. And so it was those folks that I felt like then I was just miracle grow. They were already going to get there, but I was able to sprinkle a little bit more on there and get them there faster. And like I said, me pulling back helped me to realize that more. When I was always willing to jump in there, I'm going to help you get to be who you want to be. You know, I was doing too much work for them. And when I, you know, like I say, stepped back, I saw the people actually trying to do the work. And so I would say that's the key there. The real people that are about that growth in their lives, they're going to pursue it even without you.
That's true. I was just playing devil's advocate. I like it though.
Yeah, it's definitely about the action, for real. Like Mimi said, that finesse game crazy. But if you don't see them making no type of moves when you're not around, let's say they're not working, you working or whatever the case may be, can you make some type of movement when I'm not around? Like, are you hungry? I come back, you still in the same spot. You bullshitting me. You talking shit.
Are you saying that if you as a man is not working, you want me to make the move? That's what you're asking, Didier? Are you asking if you as a man not working, you want me as a woman working and making it work for you? That's what you're asking? Can I do that?
No, that's not even a question. What I was saying was, let's say the woman is the breadwinner in this particular situation. Well, it could go either way, right? To be honest with you, it could go either way. Like Milton just said, if you hear you have a plan, you have a business plan, and I'm helping you out, I'm gonna help you out. But while I'm helping you out, you need to actually be making some type of progress, because this is your dream at the end of the day. If you're not making no moves on your dream, you talking shit.
Okay.
You're an eater.
I can understand that. So now that you want me to be the breadwinner, do you still get to make the decisions? Do you still get to be the head of household?
No, I think you kind of trailed off a little bit.
100%. I think she's just thinking, to answer her question.
Oh, love.
Yes, it is. You got to understand the male ego.
We geared off a little bit, but why
just to answer her question, yes, 100%.
I agree that I know it's the toughest thing to ask of you women to, you know, be equally yoked, to be the breadwinners, to come home and cook after, you know, making them equal amount of money. But at the end of the day, that male ego in a divided home will have to win. If that male ego takes too many losses, that it's not going to work as a relationship.
Milton, it's not even just purely about the male ego. We're not built this way, right?
I'm going to put it on the male ego, but I got you. If you want to keep it to the physiological
aspect of it. Now, if you're talking about a bum, right, that's sitting at home while you're doing your thing, and he's hanging out 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year, 3 years, now you got yourself a bum. Right?
Yeah.
That's what you got, period. Because there's no real man out there that's going to sit on his ass for a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, and he's not grinding to find something. That don't exist.
I'll tell you right there, yeah, guy secret. Yeah, if you got a guy that is not trying to control the household, get rid of him. He's been broken. He lost that in his upbringing, and he's looking for somebody just to pay his way.
He's a homosexual.
Yes. At some point he should be trying to rule that house and you gotta kick him out. You know, it's like I'm happy.
He basically wants another woman to be his mama. That's what he wants.
That's right. Yeah.
The crazy thing is he don't even need to be a homosexual. He's just a homosexual, got you. But what Cheryl said was everything.
I'm sorry, why is I cut you off?
My mama.
Did you get
me? No, you good. Realistically, it comes down to this, right? If that's the type of dude, and I don't want nobody to take offense in here. When I say that he's not a man, he doesn't really meet the criteria or the real definition of a man, right? Mm-hmm. If you're sitting on your ass like that, that's not what a man is built to be. It's naturally you're built to be a certain way as a man.
That's how we raise boys. Yeah, we raise boys to be those leaders.
Sitting at your home for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, and your wife or your girlfriend is working, taking care of you, and that doesn't... Yo, I promise you, if I lose my job today, tomorrow, I'm going to every fast food joint. I don't care. I work for $2 an hour. I got to do something.
Yeah.
Well, that's like my mom. My mom goes to dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and she has this girl drive her every week. So this girl drives her Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Her husband, boyfriend, whatever, significant other, literally will call this girl while she's driving my mom to dialysis, and he's on the phone like talking off her ear, and my mom's like, and the girl said basically, oh, he doesn't work, she's working three jobs, he does not work, he has anxiety, and so he doesn't work. And then I said, Mom, how's she going to say he's got anxiety so he doesn't work? And she goes, well, he has separation anxiety because he to make sure that she do what she does. And my mom's on the phone like, hi, I'm right here. She's driving me to dialysis. That's what she's doing. My mom literally has to speak up. So he,
Cheryl, can mom's place. I can do you like, one
that's
better.
Control. That's control. That's not that's a separation crazy. Anxiety. Yeah. That is a man controlling the situation. And I bet that motherfucker sit at home and play on the PlayStation all day while she's working three jobs.
Cheryl, I completely agree with you, because where I work right now, there's a girl who works, she does like the housekeeping. Yeah. And she was telling us like how her husband doesn't work. And I'm just like, her husband doesn't work, but he has like 4 or 5 kids. And I was like, well, okay, so how is your bills being paid? She's like, oh, he has like what's it called? Disability. Oh, okay, he has disability. So not only is this man not working, this is a sick person that you have to take care of. You get what I'm saying? Like, why are we even like settling that bad? You get what I'm saying? And then not only that, she's like, oh, and I was like, okay, so who takes care of his kids? She's like, oh no, the check comes to me. I don't have to. But the man has so much medical issues. And I'm like, so he has 5 kids that he's not taking care of.
Oh no.
You're working like 2 jobs.
Oh right? No.
Those are some extremes. Like those are some extremes.
I think the fuck not. Hell no.
I think
are not extremes, Milton, because there's a CNA. I said the other one was a housekeeper. The CNA told me, oh, my husband is disabled, so I'm the one working, because she's working like 5 days a week. I'm like, girl, why are you working so much? And she's like,
those extreme situations husband, where those women, I give them a hat, because, you know,
Two people already?
Because like I say, you know, there's that natural that man, even that's not working, is going to want to try to be the, you know, who has the biggest voice in the house. It's up to the woman if they're going to allow it. I'm just saying, those women, bless their hearts, they're in that situation. That dude need to be kicked aside. I'm like, wisely, you know, as soon as I'm not working and I don't feel like I can have the command of what happens, I got to go change that. I'm going to get working, bringing in some money so that I can earn that provider status to say, I want Charmin instead of Walmart, you know, Great Value toilet paper. If I ain't bringing in the money, I can't say that.
You're bougie.
I'm sorry. It's some things you got to buy name brand, and Charmin is my thing.
One thing that Claire said that I think we're overlooking, and I really don't know the full background of these ladies' stories, is that they're disabled. And if they're married, you said to death do us part. Like, they chose to stick with their husband. So you don't know how they entered the marriage. You don't know if...
My wife and I were having a discussion on that the other night about... Can it get to a point where one part of the marriage takes that to the extreme, the death do us part?
Yes.
Like it's a good saying, biblical saying, but at what point does one person disengage and they're really straining that death do us part? It's like you can't get rid of me because you vow to whatever. And at some point you're gonna step off a ledge to the point where you're gonna bring me down if I don't potentially break this, you know, this bond with you. So I just, in that perspective, maybe that it was like I said, it was an interesting conversation we were having of, you know, and to death do us part. Is that too much sometimes if someone?
And I understand, but some things you never know if something is out of your control. Like, an accident can happen and someone is now paralyzed. Do you walk away from that situation?
I know a girl that
did. Like, you never know the situation. The one with the five children, that's just a hot damn mess. But
five children, Mimi, and he has wounds that she has to be a wound care nurse.
I'm not talking about that.
Every day.
She could walk away from that, because I don't know when these children came into play. I don't know anything about that. But the person that lives, the one that you said she's working five jobs and the husband is disabled. So how did it occur? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what really happened. And it may be a part where it's physically he can't get up and go somewhere. You know what I mean? Or physically he can't sit in front of a computer and type away. Like, now we do have technology and he could type away and work at home. Well, so,
and the financial coach in me is asking, you know, why does she need five jobs? What are the expenses? And so if you start peeling back that onion.
Because you're not living within your means.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But then again, we also got to think too, like, what is her background? Because you said she's a housekeeper.
Yeah.
We don't know if she's legal, if she's not, like,
that's a whole other situation. She's American. She's born in America.
In the case of my mom's driver, I believe that her, whatever, significant other is not legal. He's from Africa. I don't believe he's legal.
Not the African king.
Okay.
Famine season.
You know? So I don't believe he's legal. So basically, and the thing is, like I said, my mom, she's going to dialysis. My mom goes to dialysis at 5:30 in the morning. Okay. Ooh. So poor baby. So my mom goes to dialysis at 5:30 in the morning. This woman is driving my mom to dialysis at 3 days a week at 5:30 in the morning. This motherfucker is waking up all on the phone every single time my mom is in the car with this woman. And my mom's like, hi, she's driving me to dialysis. What else you going to do at 5:30 in the morning? And she'll even say sometimes she's on the phone going, I'm working right now. And my mom will be like, hi, she's driving me. It's okay. It's Mrs. Simmons, you know? And it's like, my mom shouldn't have to do that. But my mom's like, oh, girl, you got to get out of that situation. My mom wants this.
That's what people need to know, that those don't need to be the normal. Those are atypical.
Relationships,
those aren't balanced. And, you know, from a lot of what you guys have been discussing this whole time is, you know, how to get to that healthy, I don't know if we found the word yet, pursuit, chase, or courtship, or, you know, getting to that natural, you know, goodness of it. And I agree with Cheryl that courting has changed. I even tell my wife, you know, we rushed the gun a little bit because you know, it's still stuff I learned daily about, you know, what was her favorite book, you know, growing up and stuff like that. I was like, how did I not know that? You know, all this time, you know, we've been married and, you know, I don't know these things about you. And it's a lot. I think even, you know, one time we bought one of those books, like, you know, write down your favorites. I don't think we ever finished doing it, but we were supposed to write all our favorites and then you share the book so that you learn more. But, you know, stuff like that, just continuing to learn a person, because we all got stuff we haven't told about our past. And then, like I said earlier, we're all continuously growing and, you know, making new favorites. So, yeah.
That's a part of a healthy relationship, yeah, is learning every day, learning somebody every day, growing with that person and learning their wants, their needs, their loves, their life.
That's exciting. That's what keeps your relationship.
It's, exactly.
Yeah. It's always a new day, Diddy. So you need to go ahead, Diddy. Get that going.
Yeah. One thing that I was going to say is that, I'm sorry, did I cut in?
No,
you're good.
Good segue.
No, one thing I was going to say is that dating, like we're mentioning, like, you never stop learning that person whatsoever. So dating, you should never stop dating. I don't care how long you guys been together, never stop dating. Like you mentioned, Milton, one day she liked this, next month she didn't, or a year later she didn't. You know what I mean? We continue to evolve as a person. So things that we thought that we were synced to no longer is valid. So dating, I preach about dating all the time. You can never stop dating the person, never.
Claire said something on a video that you and Diddy did earlier that stuck with me, and it's something I've kept in the back of my mind about when she said she first started dating her husband, how she told him she hated flowers. And then she grew, and she's like, I want flowers now, and I never get them. But you know, he was going from that mindset that, oh, my girlfriend doesn't really like these flowers. And so that's something I keep in my mind, that let me not put these, you know, things down and commandments in my mind that my wife thou not likest, because, yeah, it's probably going to change. It, like I said, Claire's example has just stuck with me because of that.
Right, when Greg and I met, I was like, I was 21, he was 22, you know? And then when I started learning what it meant to be a woman, a girl, you know, I'm learning like all these, like, you know, femininity tactics. And I realized I was learning myself. And I realized, like, hey, I actually like flowers. I actually like flowers in my home. They make my home pretty, you know, you get what I'm saying? So like when I started buying myself flowers, he's like, yo, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I like flowers. He's like, but you said you hated flowers. And I had to be like, no, I actually like flowers. Like, because I had different ideals, because I thought like being a girl, being super girly was like weak, you know? So that's why I kind of fought against it so much, you know? So that, and then when I was like, no, I like flowers. He's like, no, you don't. You told me you hated flowers. I was like, no, I do. And so I started buying flowers and putting them in the home, and then he kind of had to keep up with it. You know, that's what it is, you know?
I think in that aspect, it should be both men and women should always be adaptable. Mm-hmm. In everything in life, yes. Period, relationship, life, because things change, people change, men change, women change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as, like Claire said, her and Greg got together when they were mad young, 21, mm-hmm. you know, y'all mm-hmm. just started drinking alcohol at that age, you feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So y'all got a lot of things that y'all possibly didn't even know about yourself at that point, you mm-hmm. feel what I'm saying? So adaptability is one thing that I've learned early on in life is very instrumental, that you need to be very adaptable.
Well, shoot, guys. We've been on for a little bit now, for real.
We've been on for a minute.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't even know the quote. All good things come to an end. Is that how that thing goes?
All good things must come to an end. All good things must come to an end.
Must come to an end. There you go. That's the perfect little joint right there. So it was a good little conversation. I don't know if you guys want to add a little 2 cents to end it off. And but I just want to say it was a pleasure to have all y'all come through. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had their, you know, their, you know, experience to add on to it, and it was dope.
But I'm gonna let y'all do the runs. Y'all, you know, if you got something to say, go ahead and do it.
Hey, can I mention something real quick? I wasn't on the video just yet. I was watching when you guys were talking about Sierra and Russell. So here's the thing that kind of is a little bit off-putting about Sierra and Russell. I think they are kind of putting this era of perfection out there, and it's a little bit scary because here's the thing, like, no human being is perfect, right? And no relationship is perfect. And I see a lot of people putting them on a pedestal.
Yes.
That's gonna be dangerous because now they cannot be Sierra and Russell. They have to be the perfect couple for everyone else. And when they mess up, it's going to be, and not saying they are going to mess up, I feel like they should tread lightly, because like when you pretend to be perfect, you have to keep being perfect. You trap yourself in a little, yeah, you have to, they have trapped themselves in a perfection box right now. Everyone is looking at them. Sierra prayed a prayer. She didn't pray for Russell. Russell prayed a prayer. He didn't pray for Sierra. Sierra was ready to move into a more serious relationship. She prayed for something better, right? She got something better. It just happened to be Russell. But now they are, you know, like really enjoying this whole perfection thing. It's going to be a big problem. Go ahead.
Can I say something in that? So now,
yes.
I don't really follow them 100% like that. I watch sports, right? So mm-hmm. I see clips and whatnot. Now, I can't fault them because if it seems like everything that they do is seamless, because realistically, that's what a real true relationship could be like. Now, I'll take me and my wife, right? For instance, if we were very big social media people, what do you expect that you're going to see? I'm not going to show you when me and my wife are arguing. That's not going to happen, right? Dirty laundry should not be aired in public.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Dirty laundry should not be aired in public. So therefore, all you're going to see is the great stuff. So now it's up to each individual if you want to look at that and be like, oh, yeah, they're perfect. Mm-hmm. Nah, you're just stupid. That's all it is. It's not they're perfect. You're just dumb.
Because it's not dumb. No, it's just that they, it's just their perception. Like, you can't look.
Cool. Yeah. My like, poor choice of word, Mimi. I'm sorry. But when I say dumb, I mean, like you said, their lack of understanding the real life of there's
exactly.
No
right. That was going to be my right. point wisely, that I think, you know, most people in mature relationship, mature marriages understand that there's ups and downs on a date.
Right. Exactly.
It's just right. that seamless front. And I think I probably err on the part of just putting kind of joke stuff on Facebook about when me and my wife disagree on something, like, oh, she said I couldn't have any Oreos. I bought some Oreos. How about that? You right. know, just to, you know, help people understand that, yeah, we, you know, you disagree on things, but you know, yeah, so ultimately it's little stuff. You know, you still ain't finna, you know, get me arrested and she ain't finna snitch on me because, you know, she married and can't testify against me. Claire, don't snitch. If you don't snitch, you don't get it.
Hey, I was a safety patrol.
I bet. So if I walk by and you got a soda, yeah, we know for first 48, you don't tell.
Ooh. The
soda and the honey bun. No, you can't testify against you. You can't be forced to testify against Greg. So just hold the line, y'all. Good.
I know.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Get back to that point. I think mature relationships know that they probably, you know, got some of their own trials and tribulations in their marriage, and it's just that matter of coming back together, you know, and every, you know, the face of everybody else. And. And yeah, if someone's missing that says a lot about where they're at and, you know, kind of their relationship understanding.
Hey.
And I guess my final sign off, getting in my financial bag. You will grow wealth. You will become more wealthy. You will grow your net worth when you combine finances in your household. I don't know what it is about our community where a lot of Black females, I just had someone
preach it,
hey, just the whole thought of a joint account, I don't know if it's just a matter of they aren't ready to be the financial stewards of their own account, so they're scared of going up with someone else. But I can't tell you how a lot of times it's the Black female in the role that doesn't want joint accounts, that don't want to commingle money to grow money. And I tell everyone at the end of the day, compound interest is the ninth wonder of the world. The more money you put together in a pot and allow that money to grow, the quicker that money's going to flip, the quicker that money's going to expand. So if you really want to have these things you say later on in life, you know, Range Rovers or retiring as a millionaire, having a separate account and keeping money, you know, separate, and it's not going to get you there. You know, your goal and your reality aren't matching. And so that's a whole other part of conversation. But when it comes to, you know, getting into a true relationship with someone, that partner in your money is the true test. And I can see why a lot of marriages and stuff fail on the other end if two people enter that without that partnership going on also on the money side. So I'll keep, you know, like I said, maybe that's a conversation daily for another day, but that's a big key right now.
Ashe.
Doubt. Wise. Cheryl.
Yo, Lil, Diddy, let me go ahead and back my man up. Let me back my man up real quick, right? As another married man in this group, he's 1,000% correct. And our community is very crazy, right? We keep finances so separate, right? Wife and husband, yo, I make this, we make this, I do this. That's wild, right? That's wild. The best way, like Milton said, yo, combine your finances, understand each other, understand one another, make sure you're getting involved with the right person, right? Because that's important. Because aside from that, it's not gonna work. But yeah, that's the number one key. Join your finances, right? Make it work. Right? That conversation is such a difficult conversation for our culture. It's such a hard conversation for all our culture. So let's not make it such a hard conversation. Let's really let's overcome that. Let's overlook that and overcome that. Money is money, right? If you decide you really want to get involved in a partnership, then make it that. Make it a partnership. Don't make it my money, his money. Don't make it her money, his money. Yo, it's our money. Let's go ahead and build that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Hey, preach. Mimi, Paige, Winva, last words?
No, the only thing I can think of is just focus on you and everything else will gravitate.
Do you, boo-boo? That's it.
I can personally say I'm of a different persuasion, obviously, but I know people who, women specifically, I used to work at a law firm for divorce lawyers. I hate being the cynical one on here, but I'm going to lay it out for y'all. Full transparency is key. And I love that y'all are saying union, let's build a union financially as well. I'm down for it. I'm here for it. But there are so many people who love their partner or trust their partner so much that they don't think, same thing with their home ownership, is that they don't need or feel the need to be involved in it, because they trust their partner so much, which is so dangerous. My mama's best friend had cancer, double mastectomy. He's up here living in Waco, Texas with his girlfriend and his girlfriend's daughter and everything, telling everyone that his wife was dying when she was actually getting better. He drained their accounts. They're living in an RV now. Like, and she didn't want to leave him. She didn't want to leave him. They've been together since high school. She didn't want to leave him because she goes like, no, he would never do anything bad. Yeah, he did that to me while I was sick with cancer and double mastectomy and everything. But she was so financially devastated, she could not leave. Because she had nothing, because he took care of the finances their entire life because they had a joint account. My persuasion, my opinion, means nothing, right? But I'm of the fact where it's like, all right, I love you. We're going to have a union together, but I'm going to have my own separate account and you're going to have your own account for expenditures. Like, I'm going to go shopping and I'm going to spend my money to buy a new pair of shoes or a new dress or a cell phone or whatever. But we got our own account to take care of family stuff. I know that might not be everybody's opinion. I'm okay with it, but that's how I think, just because
I
don't want to be that naysayer, but hey, look, it's possible.
You're not a naysayer.
It's a good compromise.
It's
a good compromise for folks that can't trust each other monetary. We have the $100 questionable rule. So if you're gonna spend more than $100, you gotta call. And if you can't call and talk about that, 9 times out of 10, I usually don't buy it. If I be like, yeah, babe, I'm about to buy a new Xbox controller because it's green and it costs $100. And she was like, do you really need a green controller? If you need it, get it. But, sometimes I talk myself out of making that call because I was like, I don't even want to ask about this. So, that joint account does, limit what you can do with money. And, for some people that can't handle that, then, separating that so that you still can feel like your own individual self to go out there and, burn money as you want.
Go ahead.
I think it's good to have three accounts because, you can have the joint, which is for, investments and paying the bills and whatnot. But if I got to pay for a surprise vacation. I can't do that through the joint account. So, at some point, you have to have your own set.
You got a credit card. I don't know if you heard this part. The key to it growing wealth is compound interest. The more money in the same pot is growing more interest. The more you dilute that into separate accounts, the more you're holding your money back. Money is a tool. Money is best used to accumulate more money. And so in that regard, you want the most money you can have working for you. So like I say, diluting it, putting it in separate accounts is just holding the amount of interest that you're making. Because if you got 2% on $100 here, 2% $100 there, you could be making a lot more with all that in one pot at 2%. And so that's that mentality that you got to get. If you want to maximize every dollar to where it's working the hardest that it can, you can't do joint accounts. And any excuse that you make of that, you're trading off your earning potential of your money for your comfort level of what you can do with that money, I can go put stuff on my credit card and pay the bill off at the end of the month the same way that's the highest something from my wife. It's no different.
I know this is a whole different conversation. Like, damn, you know what? I'm gonna hold it for another day because I know we pushing it, but
Diddy, don't say, I got something I want to say. I want to address what Paige said.
Okay.
I want to address what Paige said, which I'm not going to say I disagree with 100%. I understand every relationship, every marriage, or every whatever you want to call it has its own dynamics, right? But the one thing, now, she said something very early on. You should never just trust, right? You should always trust but verify. So what that means is, right, I trust you. I love you. Right, this, that, and the third. But cool. Let me see it. I just want to see it.
Let me still have that login account to the accounts. Yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about, is transparency. It's like, baby, I love you. You got my everything legit down to my money. But I'm going to need to see what you paying and spending our money on.
Not only Wise, go ahead.
So what I was going to say in that aspect, so typically now, when Winsworth said something, right? So if you wanted to do something like surprise for your wife or vice versa, she wanted to do something for you, and if you guys all share the same account, you can't really surprise them because all they got to do is go log in and they see what you did, right? Cool, I get that. So I don't mind. I think as far as the compromise in regards to what Paige is talking about is you guys can have separate accounts, right? And then have one mutual account that you guys share together. But the only difference I think in that aspect would be that separate account has to be an allowed amount agreed by both parties that, okay, you can get this every pay cycle, whatever, in your account, and I get this. Because that way, now, if you decide you want to do something, okay, now you got to go ahead and take your allowance and save it up to go ahead and do what you need to do. Versus I have my own account and I have $30,000 in there that he doesn't know about for a rainy day. This is where I think it starts to get a little shady, a little weird, because now nobody really knows what anybody has. You really can't control your wealth as a partnership. because he doesn't know what she has. She doesn't know what he has. At this point, are you guys really a partnership, or y'all just operating to, you know, to a day where this becomes the situation where you're like, yo, I want out. And then you bail ship with whatever you got in your account.
Mm-hmm. So just touching on that right quick, just before I shut my mouth, because I know y'all are trying to get out of here, but total facts, right? I had so many marriages where they would have a joint account or possibly not. And then they'd have their own accounts, but they weren't still communicating. Communication is key, right? And they weren't still communicating. So this person up and came about some money, maybe an inheritance, maybe just doing better at their job. And all of that money was being pilfered into one account. Well, she didn't know about it, or he didn't know about it. And then marital assets were not split fairly. But what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, Paige. Sounds like you dealt with a lot of shady people.
Divorce, man.
Wisely. Wisely. So yeah, I don't think you said, you know, sounds like she dealt with a lot of shady people. Being a nurse and dealing with, in the medical world, you don't know, like, it's crazy. Women fall for the craziest and the most craziest lies. I deal with a lot of patients where they're telling me, a lot of the women that I work with, they would tell me, like, you know, my first husband was stashing away money. My husband was this. I trusted my husband. He did this. He did that. Women fall for this a lot. So a lot of the time, it's not women who have the secret account. A lot of the time, it's really not. And I know it may sound like a little bit, you know, a little bit feminist or whatever, but like based on my life experience, a lot of women will come to the hospital. They don't even know anything about themselves. Like, they won't even answer questions if their husband's in the room. They'll be like, oh, my husband knows all of this. Let my husband speak for me. My husband this, my husband that. So
it's their fault.
Like, it's not their fault. You know,
it is their fault because they crippled themselves.
No, Claire, don't dispute that.
They crippled themselves.
It's their fault. 100% it's their fault.
I don't care if it's the man. I don't care if it's the woman. At the end of the day, you have to take accountability at some point. Like, I keep hearing that, oh, you didn't know this. How do you not know this? You have the same access. And if you don't, you allowed yourself not to have that access.
I was going to say, Claire, is it a generational thing? Is it?
It is a generational thing. And
I was going to say, there was an error.
It is also a religious thing. It's a religious thing. There are certain groups of religion that when the woman comes to the hospital, she will not speak. Her husband has to speak and get the results for her. Like, even you as a woman talking to her, she's like very like timid. She doesn't, you know, like, and these women will tell you, like, you know, my husband, like everything, like their husband is like, you know, very abrasive, and they're just kind of like, it's not only is it a religion thing, it also is like a cultural thing. And I've dealt with it, and it's crazy.
Because I asked that to also to like Mimi's point, I think, you know, we've done a good job, you know, today of kind of staying on what's the kind of that path, that wholesome path. And, you know, examples like what Claire brought up and some of the page that Paige brought up are some of those things that kind of divert off. They are kind of unfortunately normal things that we do see happening, but it still isn't that healthy path. And I guess, we all can agree that full transparency and, as you know, mm-hmm. as you say, trust and verify, you know, that's that healthy response. You know, if you can't have the login, that person telling you, oh, I'll print it out for you or something like that. Yeah, you that's a red flag. No, I should be able to go log into this anytime I want to, you know, that type of situation. So I'm trying, Diddy, but I'm sorry to break up financial. You know how I get.
It's all good.
Yeah, sorry, Diddy. We ran a little bit, but Mimi, I agree with you 1,000%. I agree with you 1,000%. There's nothing that I will never blame a woman nor a man for somebody's lack of. We're talking about partnership, marriage, right? You're married to somebody, and you mean to tell me that so you don't know how much he makes a year? So therefore, mm-hmm. if you know how much it makes a year, that's at this point, you know how much you get paid every 2 weeks or every month. You know, you can't mean to tell me that you can't do simple arithmetic to be like, all right, yo, cool. You get $2,000 every 2 weeks, but yet you're only dropping $200 in our savings account. What's going on with the rest $1,200? Mm-hmm. Right? That's simple math. That's crazy simple math. Right? So if you decide to be oblivious to that fact, I'll go as far as say you deserve whatever the hell you get. Don't be stupid. Yeah.
Hey guys, Winwood, you probably got like 20 seconds left to add your input before I cut this off. Because we've been ran over time, which is just nobody.
I will add my 20 seconds. I will take the 20 seconds.
I didn't, please. Lord.
I will take the 20
No, my bad. I didn't know.
Go ahead. All good. No, I will take the 20 seconds. So, you're cutting my time. So, are women the prize? And are men a catch too?
Both.
Back to the original thing.
Is it a question or you or?
We're back to the, that's the question.
Oh, it's the question for real.
Women are the prize.
Women are the prize.
Yes, we are. I'm a prize.
Yep, I agree, Diddy. Women are the prize when they are absolutely the prize.
You know we gotta agree.
Yep.
Yes.
Now you heard what I said, though, right? You heard what I said. Women are the prize when they're the prize. All right, cool. I just want them to hear it too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because we don't want no argument right now. You already know how it is. It's like
agree to disagree.
That's it.
Wow. All right, cool.
Wow, that's it.
Yay.
No, but at the end of the day, it was definitely. Winwood, you want to add your last
The last, I mean, at the end of the day, you are what you think you are. So if you think you're a prize, you are a prize.
Exactly. And
I believe that everybody should feel like they are a prize and something that should be, you know, pursued, won, courted, whatever you want to say. I think that we have to work on ourselves and being 100% when we come into a relationship so that we don't feel that somebody else has to hold us up or we have to hold each other up. It should be a portion of where we're both whole as individuals, but together we're even better. So that's where
I'm sorry, guys.
basically, you ain't got to say what's already understood type shit.
Nah. It needs to be understood. I hate that saying.
I love it, but I hate it at the same time. But anyways, I appreciate all of y'all for pulling up tonight. For real. You know what I'm saying? Dope conversation. And we're going to do some more of this. And then when COVID's done, we're going to do a nice little party, whatever that is. But like I said,
I'll bring the whiskey.
Ooh, say less. But you got to make sure you bring the thing that Milton was talking about earlier. Was it something tea? Something tea. Whatever.
Yeah, find that wildest tea from me. See what your connections got. It's hard to find out in the
Midwest. She is the plug.
Gotcha. I'm the whiskey diva, I'm the liquor queen. But I'm also the liquor queen. I find things.
That's it.
Things come across my desk.
Once again, thank you for joining us on another episode of Stirring the Pot Podcast. Hopefully you got something from this particular episode, especially with a focus on manifestation. Hopefully you gain some perspective on looking within yourself and discovering yourself to see what ways you can improve before you look into searching for relationships, searching for more out of another person without finding out that you're good yourself, right? I'm sounding too deep right now. Whatever, man. Let's skip all that. But anyways, I just want to thank everybody that took part in this episode. Also, one of the guests on this episode, Cheryl, not too long after this episode actually passed away. So this episode is dedicated to her family. She will be missed. She was one of the good ones, caring, supportive, protector. So many more words that I could add, but it wouldn't do justice. So, this is dedicated to her.
and her family. Also, I want to say a special shout out to everybody else that took a part in the episode. Wisely, Claire, Mimi, Milton, Winva, Paige. Shout out to you guys for coming through to share your perspectives. Definitely love the, you know, the adding on to the quilt. You know, that's what makes us all better, right? Different perspective, different experiences. And hopefully you guys that took the time out to listen got something. Let's take this going forward into this journey of life, and let's make this world a better place.